Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of the Shannon Show podcast. So excited for this one. First of all, I am back at school. I'm back in State College, Pennsylvania. Beautiful day today. And what that really means to everybody is that the Kool-Aid Man is back. And that's the number one priority. The Kool-Aid Man is here. He's really the host of the show, if we're being honest. And also, there's the third podcast now since my book release. So I'm going to go ahead and grab it right now. Just a quick plug. Sorry, Phoebe. Quick plug, you guys have, you'll get your copy of Dear Military Teen. It is on Amazon, selling like hotcakes. If you have Kindle Unlimited, I know a lot of people have that because, you know, people who watch podcasts like reading too, then it's for free. If you already have Kindle Unlimited, you can get the ebook for free. And if not, the ebook's only $4.99. So it's cheap, a lot of cool life lessons, a lot of good stories from me, I hope. And yeah, check it out, leave a review and let me know what you think. But getting on with the interview today, I'm very excited for this one because we have the wonderful Phoebe. She's joining the show today. I don't know you previously, so that's what I love about this podcast and interviewing new people, getting to know new people. And yeah, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks, Noah. Hi, everyone. So I found you through Blue Military Teens because my brother is 9, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm an adult and I'm still navigating towards this. How on earth, like, is he going to find like resources and support? And they redirected me to you, I think, because I think it's because like you're older too, and most of them are still like high school going to college, as opposed to me feeling really old at 22.
Yeah, I feel
like,
oh,
no. Yeah, so it's nice to meet everyone.
That's great. I love Bloom so much. Bloom, shout out to Bloom. Bloom, like, they are doing so many cool stuff. They were what?
They're in DC recently.
Yes, they were. I didn't get invited to that, so I don't know what's going on there, Bloom. I don't know when the Shan Show meetup is. We need a crossover episode. But yeah, they're great. Matthew and Elena, the way they start that from the ground up, but only like 2 years ago. And they're massive now. They're getting all sorts of great publicity and interviews. They're really tremendous kids, and they deserve all the recognition they're getting. Absolutely. But that's very clutch of them. I love meeting new people. I already said that. But yeah, everyone go check out Bloom, Bloom Military Teens. Yes, I'm glad to have you here. We have a lot of things to talk about. Like you said, you're older, you're 22. I'm 20. I'll be 21 in a little bit. So we're a little bit older, kind of like looking back at our military kid upbringing. We're not really going through it. We're not in the mud anymore. We're on the other side. And I think that it's a really cool perspective, though, because now that we're done, we can kind of look at it back in the totality. You know what I mean? We can see everything as a whole, and we can see our moves as kind of a story and like what got us here today. And that's not something you really think about while you're going through, you know, the deployments or moves or living overseas.
You're just like stuck on the military base. You're like, yeah, when are my parents getting home?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's just not something you think about. But like, now that we're, I mean, you're graduated, I will be soon. I'm a junior. So,
dang, one more year.
Yeah. Well, I have to get through this one. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm not ready for it. I don't know how you're doing it, but yeah, so that's something that I want to talk about, is just looking back everything in a whole. But first, I want to get to know you a little bit more, let the audience get to know you. Tell me a little bit about where you lived growing up. I know you said you didn't move as much, but you did spend some time in Yokosuka, you mentioned. So please just tell us a little bit about yourself.
The dreaded question of where are you from?
It's hard. I try not to ask that.
Okay, so I was born in Honolulu. My dad was stationed there until 2004. And then from there, we got stationed in Yokosuka. And originally, I think we were very fortunate, and specifically, I was very fortunate. We didn't move as much as like other military families where you would like PCS once every 5 years or so. 2000, we were supposed to be there in 2008. My dad was in Virginia at that time for his advanced degree, came back, and 2011, we were supposed to PCS again. And we had the 3/11 tsunami and earthquake happen. So the Navy was trying to get people to come back. And so we were able to extend, or my dad was able to extend his tour. And then the final stretch of that was 2017. He was like, yo, my daughter's graduating. Just let her finish like high school.
Yeah.
So I graduated a year early because of that. But also I was able to extend like not once, but like three times almost.
Wow.
So in that sense, I'm like very stationary compared to, I would say like most military brats. That being said, I don't know, like being in Japan and I think being overseas for so long, it was crazy.
Yeah.
It was just like insane. And I
But
think,
you
like I mentioned it earlier, but being overseas, being compared to living in the US for the first time for me, that was such a culture shock, which is like really weird because you're still like an American citizen, but
Yeah.
you feel so detached almost. And so like that recognition isn't really there. So like a lot of questions I get almost circulates back to like, so like, where do you consider home? And like to this day, I
Yeah.
still say Japan because it's like the longest time I've spent like as a kid growing up, finishing like all the way through high school there, and then finally moving to the US for college. So it's been quite a journey.
I mean, that makes sense. How long were you there for? 10 years?
Ooh, I think closer to 13. And
13. Yeah.
I still come back. Like during COVID, I came back in 2020 since my mom is now stationed in Iwakuni. My dad retired.
Gotcha. So your
And then
parents
I'm
were both
actually,
military.
yeah. And then I'm actually going back this November until beginning of March. Because I think we're getting like stationed somewhere in September. And I'm also working now, so I have to take PTO.
This is that's just all
Yeah,
right.
crazy.
All right, 1 second. Let's slow down for a second. You 13 years in one place, totally different. Because usually, I mean, I was in Japan for only 3 years, and that's pretty typical, unless you have a parent who's like a teacher or working as a civilian or something, or there for like a really extended amount of time. So this is already a unique situation. You must have become so much more acclimated to that base and area and location than anyone else usually does, as for military kids at least. Did
Yeah,
you feel that when
definitely.
you're there? Do you feel
I
like,
definitely felt that. Like I was at home. Like I was comfortable going off base. We actually lived off base up until 2000. 10 moved on base. I have a brother who's 9 now, but that was like 2012, so we moved into a townhouse. And like on weekends I was part of the track team, so you'd go to other bases, but it was like very comfortable. Yeah, so it just like felt like home basically. It was very much acclimated.
What's the off-base community like there? Because for me, whenever I was in Okinawa, it's kind of like it's an island, it's kind of like a beach town, very relaxed. But whenever I'd visit the mainland, it's just so much more urban, things are moving a little bit more
Oh
faster.
yeah, especially when you're in like Yokosuka, Yokota, you're like right by Tokyo, everyone's like out. I will say Yokosuka is probably my favorite base. I've been to like almost all the bases in Japan now. It's just like the location's like really convenient because you're like in Kanagawa Prefecture, so there's a lot to do and you're like 2 hours away from Tokyo by train. I think like the off-base community, my mom learned how to speak Japanese. I think she's still learning. And I also got sent to like the dreaded Kumon on base to
What's
learn
that?
Japanese. It's called Kumon. It's like this
Oh, yeah.
Japanese, like math, English, Japanese learning center. And so I learned Japanese from there. And then you had Host Nation. I would say the Japanese community was pretty welcoming. I also lived in Opama, which is not too far. I want to say not too far upwards, but my geography is probably really skewed.
All good.
There's definitely a lot of things to know before like moving off base. I remember like being this like 5-year-old attending this briefing and then coming back to Iwakuni and having to attend like the culture, like the cultural briefing. And they're like, here's all the things you need to do and the things you shouldn't do. And like, make sure you say hi to your neighbor and like bring a gift. And I was like, wow. Yeah, but I would say it's very friendly, very open. If you're able to speak, I think that's definitely a plus because you can ask like where like the community center is like off base and like how do you get around? So learning the language is very beneficial.
Absolutely. I picked up like only a very little bit, but I mean, it just opened so many more doors for you because you
Yeah,
go
like
from,
even like one word.
yeah, exactly. Because like you go from, at least for my friends I know who learn language, you go from just like trying to survive off base. Like I remember every interaction,
Oh
I'm like,
yeah.
just don't mess this up. Don't disrespect anybody. Just survive this. Versus they can like meet new people and make friends off base and find new opportunities. And it just opens up a whole world into this, the host nation that's really, really incredible. So it's a lot of work to learn a language, obviously, but I cannot recommend it enough. And I wish I did a little bit more of that. Did you notice, so you're stationary all the time with all these kids around you, all your friends are coming in and out, in and out, in and out, and they're moving. Was that difficult for you, just having friends come in, get to know them, and then leave?
Not because like you're integrated from such a young age. Like I was four, and it was just like the norm. Like like it's normal for people to move, which was what made it so crazy when I moved to California in 2017, and I found out that you can literally be born, grow up, have a career in like one region of like one state.
Yeah,
and it was like that is insane. I think I was just very used to it. Like it's really easy to just be part of that culture when everyone around you is moving around. And so even when you're not being moved around yourself, you just see and hear and almost like experience secondhand what it's like. And you just sort of go with the flow. And I think I was very good at going with the flow when I was little.
Yeah, I hear that a lot too, is that, especially for me personally, is you don't really realize some of those struggles you're going through or some of the difficulties because you're just going with it. I mean, it's just a part of your life. It's part of the like mission or whatever you want to call it. It's just part of what we have to do.
And once you're out of that bubble, you're like, holy crap, that's crazy childhood that you don't realize.
No kid should ever have to go through that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. I can't imagine. That's just so much different. So did you go to, would it be Kinnick High School? Did you went to?
I did. Yes.
No kidding. Wow.
I loved my high school. I don't know. I just really liked it. And I think being in California and going through college and like learning a little bit more about like the public school system, I think we got very lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like very, very lucky. And I think I took that for granted. As like this know-it-all teenager who was like, yeah, life is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you move out of that and you're like, wow, like not all high schools are like that cool or high tech or have really good professors or teachers.
I got you. Teachers. Yeah.
Who will like make an effort and like understand like the culture you're coming from, like just having kids in and out of the classroom, moving, coming in through the semester. And I think that's something I definitely took for granted.
Yeah, there's a lot of high quality teachers in Dodea that I think they're all really thankful for.
And you didn't realize it.
Fairly well funded. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I noticed that because I went to a stateside school for 1 year and I got to see, you know, just the stark contrast immediately. But I think that, I mean, they're well funded. A lot of them are a little bit older. What was your school like? Did you, I know you were just talking very highly of it, but what was it like going to Kinnick? Because I think I visited the base once and seen it from the outside.
I have like very good memories of Kinnick. I think I also, in terms of like social friendly school life, almost, everyone's generally like very friendly. Like obviously you'd have different pockets of people that you would just get along with more naturally, but I think like in retrospect, being surrounded by so many different people, whether they're like contractor kids or like retired kids or it's like normal, hey, I moved in like last year and I'm moving to like England next year or Naples or whatever. It's just really nice almost. I don't think I would have survived in like a stateside college or I keep saying college.
No, you're good. We'll get to that soon. Don't worry.
Stateside high school. And it really helped that the school was like good. It was safe. The teachers are all like really qualified and they understand like the culture you're coming from. Like they know that like, hey, like one of your parents is probably deployed. You're probably moving in like 3 months. And it's crazy to think that they're able to like navigate around that and like help students just catch up to speed wherever they are. I didn't realize that until I like made friends who were non-military and like from the US. And they were like, yeah, it's kind of crazy. It doesn't happen here. But I think like in terms of like making friends and just hanging out at Kinnick, it was very lively, like definitely very lively. Our school, I think, is also bigger, so that might have helped.
It is, yes.
Yeah, but I definitely enjoyed my time at Kinnick. No regrets whatsoever.
That's great. Yeah, it's one of the larger schools in Dodea Pacific, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Yokota is the other big one.
Yeah.
I also will have a cat screaming in the background, by the way.
Oh, no worries. This is an animal-friendly show. Please, you know,
nice.
If she wants to join the interview, then it's no issue at all.
Lovely.
I don't know. My bad. Yeah, totally an option. Yeah, so talk to me then about, let's get into the college stuff just a little bit. We can come back to
oh,
that
yes.
if need be. But so this is something that's pretty interesting for you that you had to go through, is you had to do your applications from overseas, I assume.
Oh, God.
Right? So that comes with its own host of challenges that I've heard
gosh.
About this before.
When the worst, like my nightmare was when FPO AP wasn't listed. It was
yeah,
horrible.
Yeah, exactly.
What street do I buy? I'm like, do I put California?
Yeah.
When they asked
exactly.
my parents' state of residency, and I was like, Japan.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Like a lot of those like boxes that you check, like they don't apply. There is
yeah,
no answer
I
for
really
us.
Hope,
sometimes
like, the College Board is making it more accessible now.
Yeah, be better,
yeah.
College Board. Come on, like it's about time.
Yeah, I was like, that's insane.
But yeah, tell me about some of the, besides that, was there any other struggles for you? Because I know that kids, whenever you're overseas, like you can't tour the campuses firsthand necessarily,
oh,
like
yes.
they're all far away.
No,
And,
definitely agree.
yeah.
I was also running on a more limited, I think, time frame. So the
yeah.
deal was my dad would retire, we would move back to mainland. And so to do that, I combined my junior and senior year into 1 year. In retrospect, it was a very bad idea. That was very bad for my sleep schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But the other
wow.
challenge with that was applying at the same time. And you, like, I had no idea what the U.S. was like. I just saw pictures of campus
yeah.
and, like, I would watch, like, YouTube videos, but I didn't really have a sense of, like, what does community culture look like? What does campus culture look like? How, like, what is there to do around campus, like, in terms of, like, downtown
yeah.
and life and what have you? So that was definitely one struggle. The other part was, I think, not knowing and not having a sense of relative geography. Like, I didn't know that it snowed or it didn't snow in California unless you're like in Tahoe until I moved. And I was like in my snow jacket ready for the snow and it never came.
No, definitely not in Berkeley.
Like, it doesn't snow in California. And they're like, no, you have to go to Tahoe, like really up north. And I was like, oh, like that's good to know. So just not knowing like the geography, the temperature, mm-hmm. the weather, the people, the diversity, and like what is there to do around. I think that's definitely another challenge. And that actually contributed into why I ended up not going to a college that I got into, because I was just like, I don't know what I want to do, have no idea what like what state I'll be in at that point. And I don't know like what the state is like, and I don't know, like I didn't even know which colleges were relatively like good. Like you have Ivy Leagues, but
yeah.
then after that you have to figure out like what major, what college is good for that major, and
yeah.
then figure out like, do I like this college? And I just had zero sense of that.
I can't imagine. Yeah. So what were your priorities at the time? Was there anything that you were like prioritizing, or were you
It was to graduate. I think at that
yeah.
point I was taking like 13 classes.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 APs, 13 classes. And I was just like, I want to not take this many classes and graduate and relax. And that was my priority.
Yeah.
And then obviously get into college, but I didn't even know what college I wanted to get into. So that was more of like a logistical issue as well. Long story short, I ended up deferring a scholarship from USF in San Francisco. And I was like, I don't know what I want to do. And like the cost is insane.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go to a community college for like your general education classes
mm-hmm.
For 2 years. And it's actually like the best decision I've made. I think I'm a huge advocate for like, for kids who don't know what they want to do, take a
yeah.
community college. Yeah, best decision, hands down. Definitely learned a lot about myself there.
Mm-hmm.
And started to unpack like all the things from childhood.
Right.
Yeah. So that's like how I ended up in California. And I would transfer to Berkeley where I graduated last year.
Yeah.
But
you're absolutely right about the community college thing, just for a second, like, because that is just a great like stepping stone to moving on if you want to go to a bit larger university next.
Yes. And then
and
I think California specifically has a really good program to transfer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes a lot of financial sense. It makes a lot of sense, especially if you're coming from somewhere like overseas and you need to get acclimated to the States again. Like, you hadn't been there.
No, definitely.
Let's talk about the culture shock.
Everything from the roads to the people to how big everything was to the wrong side of the road driving to the food portions. I think that was like the first thing I noticed stepping out of like SFO airport. I think the second layer behind that was looking and being more aware of like disproportionate like socioeconomic well-being. Just different, I saw so many walks of life while I was at Olney College, and that was part of like the, I'm out of my military bubble, here's time like to face the real world. And so Olney was really like my first taste of that, where I would see like foster youth, I would see like homeless students, I would see like non-traditional students who were older coming back, and then I would see like just high school students from like the nearby high schools going into like this pipeline. And I think that was like a very, I feel like that was a very important moment for me, like that first like few weeks of being at Ohlone. Because it really forced me to question a lot of like what I knew and like how I grew up. And like, it really forced me to reevaluate how lucky I was, and just like be more mindful of that. And so I think like the shock of like not really understanding like how much there is like disproportionate in the world was one thing. The second thing is really like, as you become more exposed to that, you also like hear about the different stories. Like, you have military veterans, you have students who are just like, yeah, I live here, I was born here, and now I'm going to college, hopefully you're here. And I was like, wow. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Really old. Really, really old. But yeah, so you have like that initial shock, but you also have your childhood. I feel like your childhood in college, it starts to resurface in so many ways, and you have more time to sit with it as opposed to like being in a military base and just watching it all flow, and you have to just go with the flow, because that's how it works.
Yeah.
But it's everything from, I think for me, it really impacted my career choice, because I was like, I'd be surrounded in a career with public service just growing up on a military base, because that was like the big thing. It was always like public service, like before self, like you got to deploy because you're serving like your country. And I was like, how does that translate into, first of all, like a major, and then after that, like a career? So my answer to that was law. And I was like very much gung-ho pre-law for like 3 years. Took LSAT recently, decided not to go to law school. But then that shift like turned into like, I think a very curious mindset towards politics, because the politics behind like what happens to parents who get deployed, and like, why are they sending people there? And so it was just very, I have a lot of questions, and I like to see them. And so I turned to politics and policy. And it's just, it's been so weird. I think we brought up when we were texting, it was like really unpacking all of that into adulthood. It really stays with you, because you're wondering how like the values of your parents and like the community you're surrounded with, how does that translate into your own life, and what do you take away from it? And for me, I'm still looking for that, so I don't have an answer. But it's also, I decided to go in a field where policy, politics, and like the military are really related, and that has caused me to question a lot of like what I know and my understanding of how the military works, and just so many things, anything from like, I would say like scandals to like concessions. For example, you have the Red Hill in Hawaii, where it's like this giant hill. And how do you sort of like justify that as someone who is like very proud to be coming from a military family, you know?
Or like, what is it again? The Red Hill?
Red Hill was like this giant oil spill. And
okay.
There's also a lot of talk with one of the mountains. I think it's on Big Island, where they're trying to make like a telescope. I might be wrong.
No worries. Not
that, but Red Hill was definitely one where the Navy knew about like contaminated water.
Sure.
And I was like, you hear that, but you're also like really proud. So like, how do you sort of like work around that and come to sort of like face like the dark side almost of like being in a military family and just having sort of that pride. And then the other thing was like, I, like in terms of like, how do you phrase it? In terms of understanding like your own like ethnic background, like for me, I'm Indonesian, Chinese, Vietnamese, and Japanese.
Wow.
And so it's just a lot. I didn't really understand or have an opportunity to explore different communities because there are no communities like on a military base, especially in Japan. It was like very much dominated by like Japanese or like half Japanese. And so in college, that was like the first time I saw like Indonesian Student Association, like Japanese cultural, XYZ. And also like there were pockets of like specific communities of different colors and ethnicity and really good food for one, but also like a good opportunity to like immerse yourself. And learn more, and I didn't have that. So I joined the game really late trying to figure out what it meant to be like Indonesian American, Vietnamese American, mixed Asian American.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I feel military dependents of color don't really have unless you get lucky and you're able to find just small communities within the military bases you're in. So that's my long-winded way of saying that I had a headache for most of my time trying to figure out like childhood things and also just ethnic background things.
Yeah.
And I still don't have a lot of the answers that I've been looking for like to this day. It just takes a very long time to just like sit with and to go through.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I totally understand because some things aren't a priority, like necessarily finding your ethnic background or some of the other sides of the military whenever you're, like we said, a military kid. Like some other things take priority going from move to move for a lot of people, not necessarily for you. But some other things just kind of take the front seat. And I think that it's great that, you know, college is a time for you to settle down and introspectively look back on, you know, your upbringing as well as things like your ethnic background. I think it's really important. What were you looking to learn about yourself, though? I'm curious, whenever it comes to like these student organizations and learning about your heritage, like what were you starting to unpack and what were you starting to realize during that time?
I think it started really after most of it definitely started in my junior, senior year of college. The first 2 years of college were more focused on, I think, integrating like the military heritage and the military background into figuring out what I wanted to major in, and then transferring, and then really understanding all the things that I didn't realize. So like the public education system, the how higher ed worked in like the States, and so really all this work was done in my junior senior year. At Berkeley, because there were just giant hubbubs of cultural groups and just everything, basically. I think I got really lucky. At Berkeley, there is a group called Bridges, and it really focused on helping low-income underrepresented communities into higher education. And so that was my whole thing from freshman year to when I transferred, whether it was like policy writing or through just event organizing. And so with that specific community, we also talked about mixed race and having like, I think coming from like different ethnic backgrounds. And also I should mention that Bridges is made out of different retention centers that focus on trying to bring different communities of color into higher education. So MRC stood for Mixed Race. Oh, it's been so long. Mixed Race Recruitment and Retention
Center. It's fine. Gotcha.
Mixed Race Recruitment and Retention Center. So it was a lot of learning what it meant to not really belong anywhere in a very different context of growing in a military family.
That's interesting.
Yeah, which was really interesting. I think like I feel that a lot, especially I don't particularly look Indonesian or Chinese or Vietnamese, and it's always like one group will say you don't look this way and then the other group will say, well, you don't look this way. So like I think like in my junior senior I was like, so where do I go, like what do I say?
Yeah.
But a lot of that work was done at Berkeley through that organization specifically. And I think the added challenge of being in the military and just growing up overseas is that you're so disconnected from for so long that you don't even have a basic understanding of how to sort of like know yourself. And most of college is really like finding yourself and being more aware of like who you are and what you value and who you want to be. And so it was hard. Like it was really hard. Yeah.
How has your perspective on the military changed then? You were starting to get into a little bit, but do you think there has been like a big change in how you view the military as a whole since going to college?
You know, that's a good question. And it's really funny you say this because I work as a DIA contractor. And a lot of the projects I work with are like US Army, US Navy, et cetera, et cetera. RAND, I work at RAND currently, and they're basically a nonprofit with a lot of projects sponsored by the military.
Gotcha.
So to go back to your question, I think it has changed. I think it's a lot less idyllic than I remember it being growing up. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely a lot of awareness that I have now that I wasn't aware of before, just in terms of everything from like even political to global issues, especially since I work in foreign policy now. To even just what is the public's perception of like the presence of a military base overseas as opposed to on the mainland and certain areas. Hawaii like is a huge, I think Hawaii is probably like one of the biggest moments of like discontent I can feel like from just people around me and people I know. Sure. And I live there, so I have like friends and family there too. So it's definitely like a mixed bag feeling. And that's like one part. So the other part is just as I now work on projects for the military, there's projects from like gender equality to having support for deployed parents at the like daycare center, and you realize that it's a lot harder to navigate those the more you're aware of all these things that are happening, whether it's funding, whether it's the logistical process of having someone PCS, the hierarchy of how like the military operates and how it differs from like Army versus Navy versus Air Force versus like Marine Corps and all that like shebang. So I would say like it's definitely changed, just being more aware of like sort of the pros and cons and also the good and bad impacts that the military has. And I think I've been forced to like, come to terms that like it's not like the perfect childhood that I remember in my head, or not perfect, but like it's not like the childhood that I had experienced growing up. And that's definitely changed.
Is that hard for you to grapple with in a way? Like, because I'm sure whenever you're younger, as with a lot of military kids, it's just like, it's our nation's heroes. They can do no wrong. The military is just wonderful. They protect us, freedom, bravery, all that, which is all true in a lot of senses. Mm-hmm. But as we get older, we realize that some things aren't always that simple. You know, there's some unrest when it comes to military bases overseas. There's some in relationships that aren't always talked about. I know there was one in Okinawa that my dad worked on a base that was sworn to be given back years and years ago. It's things like that. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with my dad doing his job or with your dad doing his job or anyone's dad doing their jobs. But as a whole, there can be some issues that we might disagree with. So for you personally, do you think that that is difficult for you to kind of balance the two? Because it is for me sometimes.
No, it's definitely difficult. And it's even now, it's really hard to see almost. So my dad was briefly stationed in Monterey right before he retired. This was like his 6 months.
Great aquarium there, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. But it was almost heartbreaking to see. Like, there were a lot of former veterans, or veterans who served in like the Vietnam War and like Operation like Desert Storm and Shield, and they were also like homeless, and you see that at the Monterey Fisherman's Wharf, and it's almost like, how did you go from like serving your nation to not being able to take care of yourself when you're older? So it was really heartbreaking. And that's just one part. It's really hard. I think some days I feel it, on some days I feel it more often, especially like if I'm traveling to like a country, or not country, but a state like Hawaii, or even like going overseas to visit like family in Indonesia.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you reconcile sort of being proud of like what your parents do, like where you come from, and sort of like justifying like what's happening around the world? And I think that's been something that's more of like an open-ended question. And I think it's just really, really hard. Like, it's
really complex. Yeah,
it's very multifaceted. It's very multifaceted. It's like, on one hand, they're just following orders because you have to, and they're doing their job, and like the military is there to like support and protect and whatever you want to say. But on the other hand, there's also like all these, whether or not they're like unforeseen byproducts there that happen that are really unfortunate and tragic. And how do you just sort of emphasize and sort of improve and be better? And that's sort of the reason why I decided to work in more foreign policy and like research for like specifically related to the military. I just wanted to see like what was like the semantics of everything that's happened so far, and also like what are ways we can improve, because we clearly need to do better.
Absolutely.
And the answer I have so far is that bureaucracy is really long and slow, and changes happen really, really slowly. But I feel like as we progress, there should be more efficient ways to do things. But it's also really hard to change, I want to say, practices that have been around for so long.
Absolutely. And also the scale of the United States military as well. Like,
changes, and it takes forever because we're so scattered and so big.
Yeah. And there's no operation bigger than the United States military and probably the whole world. Just like it's across the globe. And I think it's really great that you have a passion for that. And I haven't heard too many people bring that up, but it's just nothing. You can't say much more than you have to find a way to uphold the importance of protecting and serving and all the great things they do, but also eliminating those negative byproducts that come along with it. And I think that it comes from people like you who are going to be on the ground and talking to people face to face and really having a better understanding, whether it's talking to homeless veterans or talking to, local communities who don't have positive feelings towards the bases that are in their communities. Sorry. And then just making policies based off of that. And it's incredibly important and not talked about enough in the slightest.
Yeah, no, definitely agree. I think growing up overseas specifically, like as a military dependent, there's definitely like culturally, socially, career-wise even, there's just so much that affects you, whether it's everything from like the value of public service to like what you want to do. And I think for me, it took that in a very almost literal way. And I was like, I want to do research.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. And I think like when I majored in, my double major was legal studies and political science, but I learned a lot through political science in like militaries and government and just policy. And it is so convoluted and complicated. And involves lots of money and people that It's almost crazy that we're able to make change at all.
Yeah.
Like having that deeper understanding, I was like, why can't we make things simple and just make things better, honestly?
Yeah. Well, it starts with people like you. So I think that's a great thing. Yeah, I want to stop for just a second. I'm going to interrupt. This is a great conversation, but I want to take a second to do this is a staple of the Shannon Show, Phoebe. You have to understand this is a would you rather question. Very important. And we'll get back to the more serious conversation. But this is the preposterous predicament. I need you to take this with the utmost seriousness. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. Okay.
Seconds on the clock. I'm playing basketball. It's time for an in-your-face disgrace. Are you okay? My nose is in my brain.
Both of these options you can use for the rest of your life. One, you can save all of your dreams or whatever dreams you want onto DVDs. So you can go back and play your dreams at any time. You have a really fun dream, really interesting one. You can save it, play it, show people. Wonderful. Or you can go back and save some of your favorite conversations with your friends as podcasts. So you have those audio files forever, some of the funniest moments you've had, some of the best times. You can save those. You can go back and listen to them anytime. So it's between those two, Phoebe. What are you thinking?
I'm definitely like a very, I value having a conversation with people and being able to meet as many people as possible to have like those valid conversations. So that was an easy one.
That was an easy one? Come on, no. I tried to make this supposed to be difficult. Oh god. Oh gosh. I don't even have a backup. Oh, I'll be better next week. I'm sorry, guys. I feel like some people would say the dreams, maybe. I think that would be a cutting edge right there.
I think like My perspective in that is if you have things you want to do or achieve, then you should take steps to do them. Otherwise, they're just going to be dreams. So I was like the conversations.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and the conversations are real and they can be productive and you can reference them. That would be
funny. And you'll just listen to them like 80 years later and laugh. Maybe not 80 years, maybe 50.
It's
maybe
a long
10.
time. Yeah, 10. Yeah, we'll start with 10. That's good. That's
when
good.
You're old and cranky and you're just listening to like past conversations.
Yeah. No, I think I'm with you on that. I think that is the right choice. I wish it was more difficult, but yeah, I'll try better next time. Anyways.
I know, that's a good question.
Thank you. I try, mix it up a little bit. Let's get back to unpacking our childhoods. I'm sure there's a few more things we can get to. I want to ask, you already talked about your career path and how it impacted that. What about socially for you? Did you realize there was any, maybe once you got to college, once you graduated, how did it affect your social life growing up in the military community, like you personally?
You know, that's a very, it, I, it definitely impacts everyone very differently. But for me, I just became a social butterfly.
Yeah.
Like it's just very easy to talk to anyone that you don't know, because I think for me, like, when I like on a military base, like at your Coast Guard, I was like, I want to get to know everyone and see like who I get along with and like make friends. And that sort of like translated when I entered like Ohlone. Like I spent my first week, one of my closest friends now, I met her at CC. She's also at Berkeley, but I met her because I saw that she was sitting alone at like this giant round table with one chair. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to bother you and ask you questions. And it worked out. And it worked out really great. Like, she's one of my closest friends now. And through that, I made, like, a really good friend group at my community college in a matter of, like, 5 days. And I think I just got really lucky. But also, it takes effort to say, like, hi, like, I'm new here. Like, what do you like to do? Like, let's eat lunch together. What classes do you have? What are your interests? And I think for me, growing up in the military community, that made things like so much easier. Like I was very
right.
approaching people that I didn't know, provided they didn't look too crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you did that all the time, I'm sure, and that's really a talent that's not spoken about too much, because I think that as military kids, we just take that for granted that we do that. We're like, yeah, we reach out to new people. We know what it's like to be in their shoes.
Yeah. And
yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so I think, like, I just became very social. Just very social. Yeah. Yeah, definitely different for everyone. I have a couple friends who are like, yeah, it's really hard, but I was like, I want to talk to everyone, and I cannot shut up.
Mm-hmm. I think something that I think about often that's kind of related to that is just, like, the sheer amount of people the military kids meet compared to normal civilian kids. Mm-hmm. Like, moving around, or even if you're staying in the same place all the time, you're constantly having new people come in and out.
So, like, I've had full circle moments where one of my friends at Nanavan Tower, of all things, Nikoska, she moved to Naples. I think her parents are retired in Italy now, but she was in Bahrain for a bit, and then she came back at the Sasebo base. And now we're still, like, in contact, like, still friends. Mm-hmm. I have friends from, like, Yokosuka who are currently in San Diego, and they've been everywhere. They've been in Bahrain, they've been in Singapore, they've been in Germany, and they're, like, back here. So it's very much like a full circle moment. It's kind of crazy. Yeah, but definitely on board with you with, like, the amount of people you meet is crazy. And, like,
yeah, it makes the world
stay in touch with as well.
Right. It makes the world seem so much smaller, honestly. And I talk about that all the time. It's like you have to find a way to stay in touch with people after they move away, because eventually you're going to be an adult. You're going to be like us, old kids who are just reminiscing.
So much easier, though. Like, when you right. think about it, like, I was writing letters and emails to my dad in, like, 2008. And now you have Facebook, you have Instagram, you have Twitter. I don't use Twitter, but I assume you can message on Twitter. And you have just so many platforms to, like, stay connected. My brother is 9, and he has friends who are worldwide, and there's, like, a Messenger Kids app that he uses to stay in touch with them, and it's like, crazy, because I was writing letters by hand and mailing them.
Yeah, I was, too. I remember doing that. That's great. I didn't even know they had a kids version.
Did you ever do the Flat Stanley?
Yes, I did Flat Stanley, yeah, of course.
In second grade.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah, do they still do that? I guess they don't. People don't mail things anymore. Like, you send, like, you send a PDF of Flat Stanley to your buddy.
I feel like they should keep that around. That's like a classic.
It's a staple of our childhoods. Exactly. You cannot have Flat Stanley.
Also, remember being very entertained by like the Flat Stanley stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Good stuff. Yes, I miss Flat Stanley. Well, what a good guy. I don't think I still have mine. I don't know where he is. He's probably
I sent mine to Hawaii, actually.
Yeah, that must have been such a flex.
I remember getting, like, the return mail. There was, like, this picture of, like, my cousin with shaved ice, and then, like, the Flat Stanley just, like, awkwardly on top of this. So it was melted by then. Like, it was all soggy, and it was like, that's what I had in mind, but thank you for the mail. Yes,
that works. Okay, cool. Yeah, so one more thing socially that I've also noticed is I think that military kids, maybe this is just me personally, but I think I've heard this from other people, if I'm not mistaken, is you count so much on being able to just move in a few years. I know you kind of rely on that, and that you can take risks, and if things aren't going well, or if things are going really badly, it's like, fine, I'm moving anyways, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
It was a little different for me, but almost the same, because you get so many new people. Mm-hmm. And I think now I'm working, so it's actually really hard to meet, like, people my age, because you're working all the time and you're, like, at the workplace and you don't have that opportunity to be surrounded by students your age in college even.
Yeah.
Or if you're on a military base, being able to see, like, new faces, like, once, like, each year you're just gonna get, like, a bunch of new kids. Definitely took that for granted. Kind of miss it, actually, because now I'm old and cranky and want to make
oh, please.
And now I want to make friends in, like, a part of the state I just moved down to, and it's, like, a lot harder. You don't see as many people. Yeah, and you're not forced to socialize either, so that's another factor.
So it's all on you, yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely felt that.
Yeah, it's tough, But I think that military kids, we're so resilient. Like, we really find ways to get through things. And I think that's just what I love about this community, is that everyone handles the moves and the deployments differently. But in the end, I think it's supportive, and it's only getting more supportive with great organizations like Bloom. Love Bloom. Anyway.
I'm going to force my brother to follow Bloom when he gets old enough.
Oh, he has to. Absolutely. Yeah, that is a necessity. They have so many good blog pieces too that are just great for kids. I recommend them all the time.
Yes.
And they're written by kids, which is even better because it translates a little bit more. And that's one more thing about that is that whenever I was growing up, I remember a lot of the military life counselors that I had. I went to like public schools, and they were older, and they don't always they don't relate the best, I feel like, especially now with like social media, like communication is so much different and moving is so much different, and how we communicate with our past friends or with a deployed parent. So I think that is just so, so important that kids talk to other kids about these things, because one day I'm not even going to be able to relate. Like, I already feel like I'm getting phased out just a little bit. I remember I was writing about college applications in my book, and I had to like go double check. I'm like, they still do it this way after COVID? But yeah, it's just talk to your peers, because they're going to be big pieces of support for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I have for unpacking our childhoods and how it affects us today. Is there anything else that you've noticed and want to touch on? Or questions for me? I know you had a few of those.
I have plenty of questions. Wait, so you mentioned you're in college did you say UPenn?
Penn State.
Okay.
Yes.
How has it been? I visited the East Coast once, absolutely loved it, but how is the pace of college? Because from what I hear, the East Coast is generally like more fast-paced.
I can't relate it to the West Coast. I was born in California, but I haven't really been there much since. But really, really fast paced. I kind of got slapped across the face with it my freshman year, but since then you just kind of get used to it. And you know, Penn State's weird though, because it's on the East Coast, but it's in the middle of Pennsylvania. So it's like, it's very rural in a way, because it's just, there's the college and the town, and then there's nothing else for like, I mean, Pittsburgh is 3 miles one way and Philly's 3 miles the other way. So it's a nice blend of the fast paced East Coast life, but also more of the laid back, almost country style.
That's really nice. Yeah. My next question was, do you still go back to like the places you've loved?
Sometimes. Every time, my parents live in Florida right now, so I go back there for the summer. And the drive from Florida to Pennsylvania, there's like 3 or 4 places that I used to live during that drive. So sometimes I just can't help myself. I'm like, I just want to, you know, I have friends in certain places, and I want to go buy that house maybe. But it's never the same. It's definitely never the same wherever you go back to an old place. It's just some of that like magic, like the vibes are lost, I would say, especially now that we're older and everyone's moved on. So,
you know, I just wanted to see like whether I was the crazy one for like going back to like an old house and be like, I used to live there.
Yeah, no, not crazy at all. Not crazy at all.
Yeah. I haven't had an opportunity to like meet a lot of like military kids my age. So sort of like what's your story?
In terms of meeting military kids?
I think just in terms of like how like the Shannon Show like got started and like give me the tea.
What's
the origin story?
It's not much tea, I'm gonna tell you. It's not as interesting as you might think. It was during COVID, so nobody was doing anything. A lot of people were starting very bad podcasts, and I was just one of them, Phoebe. That's all it was. I had really my inspiration was, well, my inspiration was, I had a lot of stories from living in Japan, as you might, I'm sure you do as well. Just like fun stuff that's really unique, and people in the States are like blown away a lot of the times, like, oh my goodness. Yeah. So I loved to share those initially. And that was what I did. I just had my old high school buddies on, and we just told stories to each other about the old days. And eventually I ran out of stories, and I had to start interviewing, you know, military kids. I started getting really invested in military kid issues and talking to people and having really good conversations like this one. I started working for the Museum of the American Military Family in New Mexico. I served as their student liaison virtually for 2 years. And they helped me get so many cool opportunities. I got to talk to the director of Zodale on the podcast, and I wrote the book with a lot of their help as well. So that was a really big springboard for me and the podcast. And it's been nothing but fun, honestly. It's really been great.
No, that's really cool. And it just shows that boredom really does create new things.
It does. It really does.
Yeah, that's really all I had. I was just curious. I was like, what was the idea behind this? Because I thought about it very briefly, and I was like,
who would ever do such a thing?
I was like, I'm sure there's already one in existence somewhere. And then I had to like do some digging through just a bunch of like media platforms and see like, oh, like it really does exist, and I'm not just like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Whenever I first got started, there really wasn't anything like a military kid podcast at the time. Now there's Grace of a Military Child. I know Grace. She's great. She has a great show. Yeah, she's wonderful. She's doing two shows a week now, which is just crazy. She's all over it. Yeah, she's great. And there was a few other smaller ones that popped up, and then they'll stop. And then Mixed Dandelions. I have to refer you to her as well, because she is fantastic. She's older now. She was a military kid back in the 90s, so vintage vibes. Yeah, I know. She has
some great conversations. I'm approaching that age.
No, not quite. Come on, we're not there yet.
Maybe like 5 more years. I'll be ready for retirement.
Yeah, for real. What's it like been working? I meant to ask you this, but like...
Oh, okay, wait, it's so different. It's so different because once you graduate, you have the flexibility to do whatever you want. And that is both a really good and a really bad thing, because you don't have like built-in discipline or like a structure from like class schedules and the clubs and things like that. And now you're sort of like forced to decide, like, I feel like waking up at 8 a.m. every day for fun, because it's for me. So the
yeah. issue
is you have a lot of flexibility. I think job hunting will never be not stressful unless you're just like you know like what you want and you can like get it magically, but like it doesn't work like that. So job hunting will be a little bit stressful. And then I think once you start working, you have a schedule, like it's very repetitive. And I feel like you have to really enjoy what you're doing, or you just start to feel like you're going through the motions. And so I have a few pieces of unsolicited advice since you still have time. Okay, so the first one is, if you're thinking of going to grad school or like law school or just like an advanced degree, you can apply now, but take a gap year, like, and spend that gap year like meaningfully, whether it's work or like doing like a study abroad or just like something. But once you're like on the grind, like working, you're never going to get unlimited PTO. You'll get like 2 to 5 weeks, like 2 to 5 weeks max. So like spend the time you have doing nothing like very wisely.
Yeah.
That's what I learned. The second thing is just take time. I was very stressed through the application process of like job hunting. I graduated December and I thought it'd be really easy. Like no one's applying through things in January. Everyone's on like New Year break.
Not true.
It is not true. I have this Excel sheet. I really like Excel sheets and I'm a bit psychotic like that, but I applied to a total of 115 jobs, partly because the field.
Oh, wait, 115?
115. It was brutal. Super brutal. It's also because like the things I wanted to do were very hard to get into. So for like any of like the think tanks from like DC, just research positions in general are really competitive. So just a brutal application process from like January through March. And I got really lucky with RAND. I had like, it was very stressful. And by the time I got that like RAND interview, I was like, please hire me.
Yeah.
I am just labor. but yeah, but like give yourself more grace when you're applying, because I didn't and I definitely wished I did. And just sort of like enjoy what you're doing, because if you hate your job for the next like 2 years or so, even if it's just temporary, you're gonna be pretty miserable.
Yeah, that does worry me sometimes. Just like not just me, but like other people, just because you graduate and then you get a job and it's like there's no other, like what's the next step? Like what happens?
Yeah.
You work and then you retire and then you die. Like come on.
Yeah. That's part of the reason I'm applying to grad school next year.
That's great.
I have another Excel sheet with like a list of like scholarships and like things like that I really want to try to apply to, because I was like, I can't work 9 to 5 for the rest of my life starting at 21. Where's the spice of life? But definitely just like have fun with it. But I think also I've made some not as big of a career change as I thought I would, but I have friends who started as like CS or data science, and now they're taking the LSAT and going to law school. And then I have the reverse of that, where you start thinking like you're going into like policy or something like that, and you end up working at like a tech firm. And so there's so much overlap that you don't realize. There's like a lot of intersectionality that happens with like tech and education policy, or even
Which
like
is just
areas.
more options, right?
Yeah, exactly. So definitely like it takes the time to like explore like what is available. Yeah, but
That's a great message.
that's it for me though. I'm just arriving in LA. I'm going back to Japan soon in like 2 months. So it's a lot of packing and unpacking.
Yeah, how long are you going to be in Japan for?
I'm leaving November. Or going to Japan November, coming back probably March.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'll be working remote, but it's probably like the last time I'll be able to like spend time with family, even with a time difference at work. So I'm gonna take advantage of this before they pick yes again.
Wow. What is there anything else you're looking forward to about going back?
Honestly, to spend time with my brother. He's 9. I think I mentioned that like 4 times now, but I still
It's
yeah, by the way, my brother's
fine. Is he 9? Wait, is he 9?
He's 9. He's turning 10. We have like a 12-year age difference, but I look at him and I was like, I want you to be more prepared for the real world than I ever was. So just looking to spend time with him, probably catching up with friends in the area too.
That's great.
Yeah, just full circle moment.
Yeah,
So
it really is. Do you think it's gonna be a little strange being back after, you made so many adjustments?
definitely strange. Especially since like my mom is stationed at Iwakuni. It's totally nice, but at the same time, like I'm familiar with going to like the other bases, so it's like it's so weird. It's like an out-of-body experience almost. Just like I live here, but like all of a sudden I feel like I'm watching my life from the perspective of like a third person. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I've always wanted to go back, but I can't find the right excuse, I mean, you have it perfect because your family's still there, but I can't.
Like study abroad programs if you have time, or send you some scholarships too. But there's like Fulbright, which is kind of competitive, but you can either teach English, do research, learn a new language for like a year trip, and you can choose any country, almost any country. Maybe not Russia or like the Ukraine right now. No.
I can imagine that. Great, thank you.
Was
That would be interested.
like, for a bit, but I'll send you some scholarship ideas if you're interested.
Please, yes.
Yes, that's what I'm aiming to do as well.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Well, Phoebe, I really appreciate you doing this. This has been a lot of fun and a very unique conversation for the podcast, which I love to have.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for responding as well. I was
Of
very shocked.
course.
I was like, he's probably not gonna respond to me. I'm just like this random person DMing him. And I was like, this is kind of sad. But thank you so much. And thank you for sharing.
Yeah, of course. I say this all the time, but yeah, anyone reach out for real, because I love talking to military kids, having conversations like these. I mean, this is what it's all about. Who would I be if I was just like, no, I'm not gonna respond? Like, that's just not who I am either. That's
Yeah.
not how we do
And
things at the Shannon Show.
if you ever need more military kids, I know a couple in like the California area. They're a bit scattered, but I'm sure they'll
We
have like
always need more. Please, yes, send them my way. That'd be
awesome.
great. And I hope the best for your 9-year-old brother as well. We need to get him a copy of Dear Military Teen. Maybe we can work that out.
Awesome.
Yes. Anyways, thanks again. I'll see everyone next week. And yeah, Phoebe, I'll talk to you another time. Thank you.
Thank you.
You ever done DMT? My eye.